Welcome to The Book Club, the show that spotlights undiscovered authors and their books. Now, here's your host, John Austin.
Thanks, Ed, and we have a terrific show today. On this segment, a smart, riveting autobiographical novel that will keep you turning the pages and actually gasping at some of the twists and turns in the book. The book is Grady's Odyssey, and the very talented author who lived a good part of this book is Chris Hargrove. Chris Hargrove is the chairman of the board and CEO of Professional Bank Services, Inc., and in this, his first novel, Chris combines his knowledge of the financial industry and his love of the sea. Welcome to the book club, Chris.
Oh, thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Well, we're very happy to have you here. I absolutely loved this book. And as you listen to this interview, keep in mind that this man apparently wrote from what he actually knew. But let's start, as we always do, with just kind of a brief synopsis of Grady's Odyssey.
Oh, thanks. Grady's Odyssey. Well, it starts out with Grady Wilson, and he is from a small town in Tennessee, and he ends up in Wall Street as a successful investment banker. And after he's there for a few years, some tragic events happen and some twists and turns in his life, and he chucks it all, finds an old boat and refurbishes it and brings it up to date. And little did he know when he sailed off in this old boat that it would run into a string of murders, a shady real estate deal, and a lot of drug traffickers when he takes off on his little trip.
Well, it's quite a trip, and you are going to enjoy this situation. Now, the book opens, and I'm going to talk about the preface first, which I usually don't. But in this case, in the preface, we first meet Grady and his brother Van. And it's at this point, they are taking Grady to basically a shrink. I mean, he's going into a rehab facility. Now, then the actual book starts, and you're not going to find out about what that preface is all about until the end of the book. So now we begin with Grady's background. This is chapter one, Grady's background, and we meet Dina. Do you want to tell us about them?
Oh, yeah. Dina was the love of his life. He met Dina in college, and they hit it off and stuck together and dated through college, and then as his career in the financial and the business world took off, she was almost the polar opposite. She was a welfare worker, worked with disabled children and learning disabled children. And he dragged her to New York and immersed her in his life. And she never really enjoyed that life, never really took to it. And unfortunately,
don't go any further. Okay. Because I'm going to ask you now. We're going to meet another character, a very important character in this book, and an important character in Grady's life, and I think somewhat in your life. But this is George Freeman, and you want to talk about the merger that transpires, and then a very lucrative contract for Grady.
Oh yeah, George Freeman was modeled after a good friend of mine that I worked with for 20 years, and also another wildcatter I knew from West Texas that was in the oil business. And it was kind of a blend of those two people, but George was bigger than life. Found Grady was just a, you know, small-time banker in Nashville, Tennessee, and took him under his wing and took him up to New York, and they were like brothers. Wow. and built an unbelievable investment banking practice in New York.
Okay. Now we're going to talk a little bit about, because now he's got this huge success, and he gets a promotion to partner. But at this point, and I don't want to give away the whole thing, but there is a huge bombshell from Dina, and then on top of that, there's the first real twist in the book that hits you right in the nose. I was not expecting it. I was rolling along, loving the book, and all of a sudden I got boom. But tell us about Dina decides she doesn't like New York.
Yeah, Dina decides that New York's just not her life. She still loves Grady, wants to be with Grady, but can't stand the thought of living her life in New York City. And so they part ways. And
right.
I think I don't want to tip how they part ways, but I guess say it's very tragic.
It is tragic, and it's a wonderful twist. And throughout this book, you're going to find these twists pop up when you're not expecting it. You're rolling along, and everything seems to be going great, and then boom, you get hit in the face with this thing. Okay, now Grady is Dean is gone. for one reason or another, and you have to read the book to find it out. But so Grady heads to Honduras and runs into a situation there with the plight of the women in Honduras.
He kind of loses it when he loses Dina, and he takes off and goes down to Honduras to work for a charity that she had told Grady about early on. And it was one I actually was involved with for many years in La Ceiba, Honduras, which is one of the scariest places you would ever want to be. And it's ranked in the world, one of the most dangerous cities in the world. But there in La Ceiba, there is a in the city dump, which is a one hill, a big brown dirt hill in La Ceiba, Honduras. 2,000 women and children live there.
Oh, wow.
In this city dump. And so Grady decides that that's what he's going to do. He's going to go down there and help these people.
Okay. And finally, somebody comes down, George comes down and says, wait a minute, you're ruining your life here. And there's a second situation here that's another twist, but I think you can give that one away kind of. You can tell them.
Oh, sure. Well, when George finally figures out where Grady has landed after he went off the deep end, he actually hires people to follow Grady around to make sure that he's okay. And George, all the way from New York City, discovers that there's a kidnapping plan for Grady, that these guys are going to take him. So George flies down to try to convince Grady to come back to New York. And right about the time that he's about to convince Grady to come back, there's a kidnapping attempt.
Okay, and we're not going to tell you how it ends. I have to ask you this. I'm going to wait till the end of the interview. But did that really happen?
The 8 times that I went to Honduras, because of that, we always had extensive security around us. Because 1 week before we went down, one time, a group of gangs in the 2 blocks from where we were going to be working pulled over a bus of innocent people and killed 18 of them.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, we were always very careful because, you know, kidnapping is their biggest gross national product.
Okay. Now we meet another woman, the second woman that he's really interested in, and this is Shelley Bates. And during this time, it's kind of a different kind of romance because there are trips, but that together and apart and whatever, and Grady ends up with a condo in the Tampa area.
Yeah, Shelley was kind of the anti-Dina. Dina was a social worker and very grounded. Now, Shelley, on the other hand, was total New York society. You know, her father was a famous heart surgeon in New York City, and she was a model in her part-time, but also a big real estate developer. So she was born in Manhattan, lived in Manhattan, was never going to leave Manhattan.
Okay. And Shelley is around. Now we really don't meet the woman. I mean, her name comes up because she has the boat. This is Mrs. Peeler's, and she's got a boat that turns out to be a really ugly boat.
Yes.
and Grady ends up buying it.
Yes, Grady buys a boat that's slow and ugly, and so he decides to name it Slugly. And his brother Van found this boat from this old lady, and everybody thinks Grady's lost his mind because he ends up buying this old slow boat.
Okay, all right. This is kind of a sad part in the book, but it precipitates a number of other things. But now George actually dies, and unexpectedly dies of a cerebral aneurysm.
That's correct.
Okay. And that actually, he now has, they read his will, and now there is a major problem with the firm.
Right, because at that point in time, out of the 50 partners in the firm, Grady was the youngest partner.
Right.
And with George's death, George left him all of his shares in the company. So overnight, Grady not only goes from being the youngest partner, but now the largest shareholder in the firm, which is totally puts the firm in chaos, thinking that this young guy now is a controlling shareholder.
Okay, now there's an answer to this that everybody listening I know wishes would happen to them, but there is a $110 million buyout to get rid of Grady, and then Grady's loose.
Right. He said, take this job and shove it. He took his $110 million and decided that he was going to spend his money and his time refurbishing Slugley.
Okay. All right. Now, and that's what they start doing is refurbishing Slugley.
That's true.
Okay. Now, at that point, after he gets the boat, he finds there is a passenger on the boat, and the passenger's name is Shadow.
Yes, Shadow. Apparently, the gentleman, which has a shady past, that owned the boat prior to Grady, had a companion, and the companion was Shadow. And Shadow was a powder puff Chinese crested, weighed about 9 or 10 pounds, and as hard as he could, Grady could not get rid of this dog.
Well, it didn't sound like in the book he really wanted to get rid of him. So
no, he did.
It's one of those things, you know. Once you get him, you got him. So we're talking to Chris Hargrove about his outstanding novel, Grady's Odyssey. Okay, now we meet a character who's a fun character. Doesn't have a huge part, but this is Captain Jim, and Grady hires Captain Jim to help him take the boat from Mobile to Tampa. And now I must say, Grady is a pretty good drinker. But when Captain Jim gets on the boat, they said, no, you're not drinking.
No.
You could fish, but you couldn't drink.
That's right. No drinking on the boat while Captain Jim was there.
Okay. Now they get actually to Tampa, and there's $1 million-plus refurbishing job of this, of Slugley.
Yeah, that's one of many things that everybody that was around Grady thought that he had lost his mind, that he was spending this kind of money on this old tub.
Right, because it's still an ugly boat. But the interior is so fixed up that it blows people mind when they actually get in to see it.
Yeah, $1 million goes a long way.
Well, I guess,
you know,
so.
They said, you know, they couldn't believe this ugly boat. You walked inside it, they said it looked like the space shuttle, you know.
Right. Okay. All right. Now, there's at this point, they've refurbished the boat, and Grady decides he's going to take, by himself, he is going to go to the Bahamas, and he's going to take the boat, and he figures he's in good shape. Now, there's a terrible, it's a very frightening crossing from Florida to the Bahamas, and they don't make it to the Bahamas. Tell us a little bit about that one.
Oh, this is a common mistake that everyone makes. You know, they get a boat, and they fill it full of all this technology, and they think they can sell that boat anywhere they want to go, but you need a little common sense and experience is what I've learned through the years. And so what Grady decides to do, he's going to sail from Fort Lauderdale over to Grand Bahama Island. And when he's at Fort Pierce or getting ready to go, he notices that the marinas are full of boats. There are boats everywhere. And he asked everyone why, and they said, well, there's a north wind. And he goes, well, I'm not a sailboat. I'm a motorboat. Why do I care if there's a north wind? Well, what he didn't know is that the Gulf Stream runs south to north at about 5 miles an hour. When you have a north wind pushing against that stream of water, you get huge waves in the Gulf Stream. And they're not only tall, but they're steep on the backside. Even cruise boats won't leave Fort Lauderdale if you have those kind of waves. But he didn't know that. He thought that he could tackle it.
And was lucky to get back.
Oh, yeah. He was banged up pretty bad. but it did teach him. After he did that, he wised up a little bit and said, maybe I need to learn a little bit about seamanship before I take off on this adventure.
You know, it's interesting. My father-in-law's cousin is also a boater, and he got a 55, and he did exactly the same thing, but he had been making that crossing for years and didn't realize, and they got caught on there, and I mean, his wife broke her shoulder or something. I mean, they had a terrible time. They had two dogs with them, and they thought they had lost both dogs, but they finally got across. But I guess it is horrendous if you have to go through that.
Yeah, because what happens, it's almost like a washing machine. Once you get in it, there's no really way to turn around, and if you don't turn around or if you stay in there, the Gulf Stream is going to continue to push you north, and you could end up hundreds of miles in the middle of the Atlantic.
So, oh, wow.
It's a common problem that happens every year, and every book you read about sailing in the Bahamas, that's chapter one in bold. But Grady didn't see that one.
Okay. All right. So they get back to Fort Pierce, and he decides the next trip is going to be to Tampa, and it's where he's going to learn to be a real captain.
That's right. I mean, he actually signed up for classes and learned everything about seamanship and his boat, and how to repair the boat. And he spent about 6 to 8 weeks, you know,
right.
in a very tough classroom setting to learn what he was supposed to already know.
But even that, 6 and 8 weeks, that was a crash course, because usually I think it takes people longer to go through that.
Oh, well, he had all the money in the world, so, you know, he just hired the guys out. They started at 8 in the morning and went till 10 at night, but that's the kind of guy he was.
Right,
you know,
right.
He was going to get it. He was going to do what he was supposed to do, but he was going to do it quickly.
Okay. All right. Now, after the 6-week course, there's a graduation party, and Captain Jim is back for the shakedown cruise to Key West. But it's a little different this time, because he says, I'm not helping you. I'm going to sit here and watch you do this.
Oh, yeah. He made him go the 225 miles from Tampa to Key West by himself. Sorry. Without helping. So Grady was up all night, and Captain Jim was down in the hole watching movies and drinking.
Okay. Now, there's a couple of funny bits, but there's a very funny bit, I thought, in Key West. If you've never been to Key West, it's crazy, crazy place. But there's this guy singing in the restaurant, singing Buttercup. And Captain Jim walks in and says, and after the next day, tells Grady, there was some nut down there singing Buttercup, and he sang it about 20 times. He wouldn't stop. And guess who was singing?
Well, that would have been me, but it was Grady in the book. That's I'm Irish Kevin's in Key West. If you ever hear one screaming Buttercup, you'll find me in the back of the bar.
Okay, well, it is fun. Okay, there's a lot of things that happen now in Key West. There is actually a meeting with a girl. I'm going to mispronounce her name. Kathia. Okay, Kathia. Now, it turns out that Kathia is a working girl. Now, a lot of people out there listening probably don't know what a working girl is, but she's basically a high-class prostitute is who Kathia was. And she makes a deal with Grady. And when you read this, you're going to say, well, there's going to be a lot of guys out there saying, geez, I wish I had met her. But anyway, tell us what happened there.
Well, this sort of happened to me at one time. I won't give a lot of details, but
okay.
Grady was sitting in Sloppy Joe's in Key West. The place is packed. There's no seats. And the girl walks up and says, hey, there's nowhere to sit. I want to eat. Do you mind if I, you know, sit at your table? And he said, yes. And you know, Grady's got to remember, he's been on a boat for like 3 months. And so she was pretty, and he was, you know, trying to chat her up a little bit. But at the end of the conversation, he finds out that, yeah, she is a working girl.
And he doesn't know when she says that. I'm a working girl. And he said, well, yeah, well, where do you work?
Yeah, he had no idea what that meant.
But he found out. And actually, that relationship turned out to be really nice. And it lasted for a while. And because he decided to take her on the cruise. And they actually, at that point, started to do these cruises. And at this point, there's some wonderful scenes in the book about the Caribbean and the islands. And you obviously have been to them all, or Grady has. And you, in writing it, you were able to tell people what they were all like. And they were all a little different.
Yeah. Well, I like to think of Kathia Moore as a first mate with benefits, but you know, and that was, there was two things about Kathia. You know, one, Kathia is going to be in the second book, and she's going to be a major character in the second book. So I wanted to introduce her here,
right?
Because you know, you'll like her more in the. I think you like her here, but really like her in the second book,
right?
So there's more for Kathia in the future. The other thing. One of the things I really wanted to do in this book is to write about a lot of the places I had been and the islands I had been and visited. So when I wanted Grady to make this tour through the islands in Abaco, you know, I wanted to write about that, but I didn't want him to be alone. I mean, I had to get him from point A to point B, and because I had plans for him once he gets to point B, but you know, if he was by himself, he'd say, yeah, I went to this island, it was really great. I went to this island, it was really great. But Kathia introduced a lot more fun to the trip.
Absolutely. Know? Yeah, absolutely. And there are some wonderful places there. There's, I think at the beginning, it's is it Great Sail Cay and Double Breasted Cay, right?
Oh, yeah, two beautiful islands in the Bahamas.
You know, I thought I'd been everywhere over there, and I'd never heard of either one. guess I heard of them, but I have never been there. But I guess they're gorgeous.
Oh yeah, my whole goal in life is to go where there is no one else.
So, that was always mine too. And you did a pretty good job of finding that.
Okay.
Now then, there's Treasure Cay and Schooner Bay Village. I just want to mention those because they actually are a place where Grady thinks this is where he might end up.
Yeah, he really wants to maybe have a base of operation in the Bahamas or the Caribbean. So a lot of the second half of their tour through the Abacos is looking for a second, or I guess for now, a third home. It's one that he can make a base of operation to go to other parts of the Bahamas or the Caribbean.
Okay. All right. Now, he also ends up on a small, now this is Cathia. No, I guess Kathy is still, no. The next spot in the book is Nassau, the Atlantis, and Danny shows up, and here is a huge twist and a big incident. So you might want to I wouldn't give away what happens here. But.
Well, I guess it's easy to say that if you're going to mess around with a working girl, you should expect some trouble sometime along the way. And, you know, I wasn't going to let him get off scot-free. So Danny shows up. Danny's someone from Kathy's past, and it gets pretty messy when he shows up in Nassau.
Okay, and it's another one that's going to hit you right in the face. You won't see it coming, but it's terrific. But anyway, at that point, Kathy leaves for a while, and so Grady is on his own, and he ends up at a very small unnamed island, and there's another character that shows up who ends up having a big part in the book. He's not in it that much, but the part he plays is a good one. This guy's name is Isaac.
He's my favorite character in the whole book.
Yeah, he's mine too, actually, yeah.
Yeah, so Grady decides, you know, Kathia's gone, and so he decides he's going to go to the Exumas and be Robinson Crusoe for 2 or 3 months. He said, you know, I got this boat. It's self-sufficient. I'm going to sail down. I'm going to find a deserted island, and I'm going to be, you know, Robinson Crusoe for 2 or 3 months. Well, when he gets there, it's a total disaster. I mean, he can't catch a fish to save his life. He's bored out of his skull. And everything's just going terrible for him. Finally, one day, Isaac shows up. And Isaac is, you know, looks like a Rastafarian. He's got the long dreadlocks and shirtless with an old wooden dinghy. Pulls up, you know, to Grady's boat and helps Grady learn how to survive on an out island in the Bahamas.
Okay. It's a great great feature. I'm going to have some time left at the end here to talk to you, so I'm going to just run through this other thing because the last 60 or 70 pages of this book are so exciting, and there are some people that are introduced here. There's a man and a woman, Trevor and Hallie, and there's a deal that they are working on, and they think that they've been really scammed, and Grady is able to help. And that brings in two big characters, Big Moses and Jimmy B. And these guys are wild. And also the Governor Hounce, I guess that's the way you probably pronounce his last name, Hounce, H-O-U-N-S-E or something. Anyway, who has a warning for Grady. I'm going to stop there because we're down to like 3 minutes left, and I want to be able to talk about it. So I don't want to go any further with the plot, but I cannot imagine anybody that reads this book that won't like it. Tell us how they can buy it.
Oh, the book is easy to get. Of course, it's on Amazon.com. You can search it under Grady's Odyssey or my name, Chris Hargrove. Also, Barnes & Noble. You can get it online. And I also have ChrisHargrove.com.
Okay.
So you can find the book in any of those places.
And you sell it on your website?
No, but it'll take you to Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Okay, very good. Now, we just have a few minutes left, but I have to ask you this. How much of this book is not only Grady, but Chris Hargrove?
Well, you know, I think it's autobiographical on steroids. And most of these things, you know, most of these things I've seen or been involved in, but, you know, you're going to make them a little bigger than life. My wife's sitting over here, Deanna, she knows the Kathia thing is not true. But, no, there's a lot. I mean, all those islands I describe in the book, I've been there.
Yeah.
A lot of the people in the book are real people that I know. I mean, even Isaac is a guy that I know in the Bahamas.
Oh, wow. Well, the next question is, why did you decide to write it?
Oh, well, one, I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was turning 55 or we had some concerns. Our daughter, we almost lost our daughter a year or so. I got insomnia, really, really terrible insomnia. and couldn't sleep. And so my inspiration, my wife, Deanna, said, you know, why don't you write that book? I don't know if she was, you know, I thought I was padding around the house. She was saying I was stomping around the house in the morning. But, you know, I owe a lot to her. You know, she encouraged me to write the book. And even though I thought that it was not that good, you know, she's the one that kept saying, I'd write a chapter every night. And she's the one that kept telling me that, you know, it was good. You ought to try to get this published. And
it's better than good. I mean, it is really good. Yeah, you love this book. I mean, and as I say, you don't see most of the stuff coming. The last question, and I didn't realize it until you said this, and I was hoping, so you do have another book coming.
Yeah, I'm going to hopefully start it here in the next, you know, 5-6 months.
Okay.
And like I said, Katya's big part of this book. I think you'll like her.
So you have it in your head, that the book is in your head now, and all you got to do is get it on paper?
Oh, yeah, and a lot of people are coming back. Of course, Grady and Slugly and Katya. Right. Oh, yeah.
How long did it take you to write this last one?
Believe it or not, I wrote 95% of this book in 29 days. It's got 29 chapters. I wrote a chapter a night. The editing and my best proofreader in the world sitting over there on the other side of the table, it takes a long time to do that. But the guts of the book came about really quick.
Okay. We've been talking to Chris Hargrove about his outstanding autobiographical novel, Grady's Odyssey. Now stay tuned for the second half of our program right after these messages.